Okay. That work? Yes? Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak. I've gotten myself in this kind of trouble before by volunteering and announcing that I do speak from time to time. I said something that I would be here primarily on the second Sunday of the month because I speak the other Sundays, and Narda said, oh, wait till they hear you speak. And I'm like, okay. And Albert, hey, next time you're down, this is the next time I'm down. And here I am. But I spoke in Mansfield this morning. That's why I wasn't here this morning. I spoke in Mansfield and then came down to visit my daughter who lives a couple of houses away with the new baby. So it's always fun. But anyhow, my name is Scott Dunn. If I say anything that you don't like, let's talk about it, because most of what is going to be up here are scriptures. I will introduce the thought of this evening, but then to support my thought, I guess, I will be reading a lot of scriptures. That's the safe route out always. So let me see something here. Okay, you're looking at this, right? I'm used to walking around, so I'll see what I can do here. My lesson is entitled Bumper Stickers. And I hope you all can see this because a lot of the information you're going to want is up there. And I have to apologize for the first couple of slides. They were for my wife's sake. And you'll understand here in a second. I do not stand in a pulpit and tell jokes. Okay, I won't do that. Although there are some things in life that are funny and you need to chuckle about them a little bit. But for the most part, this is serious business. And that's actually what this whole sermon's about, is some serious business that we are being slapped on our face every day in this world. And we'll get to that in a second. But we understand what bumper stickers are, right? This one, men are idiots, I married their king. Like I said, have you seen this one before? I like I said, I put this up there to get a little chuckle out of my wife, who would just be back here shaking her head. And how about watch out for the idiot behind me? I took a picture of this one time, sent it to a group text a bunch of the brethren and I have up in Youngstown area, Lisbon, where I'm from, and they were like, that guy was right on. But a little more serious, okay, how about this? Choose life. And you know what? In today's world, my wife's cousin lives in upstate New York, where the state of New York is slowly working on infanticide. And our governor at least signed a bill heading the right direction toward this heartbeat bill. No abortion's good under any circumstances, but to choose life, always choose life. I mean, and that's a bumper sticker. That's my point. And bumper stickers are everywhere, okay? And what's it about? It's about various opinions. Religious bumper stickers. You've seen the fish. And, of course, the fish is supposed to be representative of Jesus. So what's the world do? They stick the word Darwinism, or Darwin, right in the middle of it with two little feet sticking down to mock the Christian idea or the Christian symbol. Political. You can always tell the age of an old car, right, by what bumper sticker's on the back of it. You know, vote for whoever. Oh, that must have been in the 80s or 70s or 90s or whatever. Because the bumper stickers just go on and on. Which, by the way, it's a pretty permanent record of some things. So be careful what you put on the back of your vehicles. Places we've been. You know, what you got, Outer Banks is a common one. My wife and I often go to St. Simon Island, Georgia. We've got a friend that has a house down there that we can use for nothing. So we go there a couple weeks a year. So SSI. We understand this. It's kind of a little brag, if you will. Look where I've been. Quotes. All kinds of quotes. But there's one I've seen recently that when I saw that, I had to take a double take. And that's going to be what we're going to talk about the rest of the evening here. I will say this. I put this together. I missed one topic for bumper stickers. And why I'm bringing this up is when I preached this at Frey Road up southeast of Toledo, I kind of went out in the parking lot between services just to say, okay, who am I going to step on whose toes here if I say what? Okay? Well, you know what was on the back of the car? Ohio State. Boom. Pittsburgh Steelers. Boom. I said, uh-oh. I forgot. Sports. You talk about a bumper sticker I missed. People put, they paint their whole cars. You all would be a Bengal, right? You know, so again, you know, people do that as opposed to, this is my opinion, I'm right, you need to agree with me, end of story, because this is how I think. Well, the bumper sticker that got my attention was this one. Have you seen this bumper sticker? Do you know what it means? Do you know what it stands for? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. And this lesson, I call a current events lesson. You know, this is something that's going on in our world today. And it says coexist, but the word coexist is made up of a bunch of symbols. And we'll talk about these symbols briefly. Where it comes from is this. This coexist This was part of an art display that we're going to talk about in a second. But this is where this came from. This originally was an art an art display. Man, I know what I want to say, but it's not coming out. And by the way, little nervous, but not too bad. I will tell you, and all you brethren, sisters, and whatnot, you know, we're all in this together. We're just Christians. We're family. You know, especially Christians, they're just good friends. You know, I might not know y'all, but we're all good friends. And that's what it's about. That's why I don't worry too much. As long as what I'm teaching is scriptural, I'm not going to get too many eggs whipped at me. I mean, and if I make a mistake, you're going to understand. Does Albert make mistakes? What y'all laughing about back here? See, that's what I'm saying. And that's why when I was asked to speak, I don't care if there was 5 people here or 500. As long as we're Christians, you know, we're all in it together. In fact, my lesson this morning, just briefly, Brown Street had a meeting last week in Akron, and they had Christian Asgill from Africa here. And I was with 3 of my other brothers, James Bond, Glenn Bond, and my good friend Kim, who are a little older. And the speaker spoke with a very deep voice and heavily accented. And when I left, I asked Kim, I said, did you hear a word he said? He went, so I went on Brown Street's website over the last couple of days, and I listened to that sermon, made a bunch of notes, and I preached it to him this morning. And I said, here, now it's in my words, my English, if you will, and loud and clear, and everybody shook. That was good. That was nice. But part of the problem was it had to do with the judgment. And actually, it was called a call to judgment. And it's a call we all are going to and must answer. There's no way around it. Well, my point is, as Christians, we all got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And our job is just to support each other, exhort each other, help each other any way that we can get there. So anyhow, back to my coexist. The idea of coexist, we understand what the word means. All I've done here is defined it. The definition is to exist together at the same or at the same time. And you know, this is what married couples are supposed to do. And I always joke because it's like whenever I marry a couple, I'm like, you know, you all are going to have to get along for the rest of your lives, and you're going to have to agree on things. And, of course, I teased. I said, I've been married for 35 years, and I know how to say yes, dear. So, and of course, number 2, to live in peace with each other, especially as a matter of policy. It's like, no matter what, we're just going to live together in peace. We're just going to be peaceful with each other. That's what coexist means. And I don't know that I had to define it, because I think we all understand what it means, but that is the definition if you had any questions. Again, the first symbol there is that C, and it's made from a crescent moon with a star. And that's a symbol representing Islam. And of course, the X in there is a Star of David. And if you haven't seen the flag of Israel lately, there's a big Star of David right in the middle of it, because that is a symbol of Judaism like there's never been a symbol before. And of course, the T is a cross. And we understand it's a symbol of Christianity, not that we put them all over our buildings or whatever, but we know when we see a cross, that's what it's there to represent. You see in my neck of the woods a lot of those 3 crosses up on the hill thing. As you're driving down a road, somebody's planted 3 crosses on a hill, as a reminder. But the idea there is that you have the symbol of Islam, the symbol of Israel and the symbol of Christianity all mixed in with the word coexist. And this is how it all started. The coexist image, often styled coexist like it says, or coexist, is an image created by a Polish Warsaw graphic designer, and I'm not going to pronounce his name. It's got too many syllables in it. But it happened in 2000 as an entry into the international art competition sponsored by the Museum for the SEEM for Dialogue, Understanding and Coexistence. The original version was one of dozens of works displayed as a large outdoor posters in Jerusalem in 2001, and variations of this artwork have been used as bumper stickers and elements of rock concerts. That's just what the definition showed up online. But the idea here is, of course, the theme is, can't we all just live in peace together? And here's back to the original bumper sticker. Today's version includes the peace symbol. And the peace symbol, believe it or not, researching that was interesting. It was from the late 50s. It's supposed to be a C, an N, and a D, which is complete nuclear disarmament, which is where that symbol originally came from. And then it was adopted by a lot of other people, you know, peace symbols in the peace movement in the 50s and 60s and 70s and things. And in today, I can't really tell you what it means today. Who knows what they've warped it into today. But the E is the male-female symbol. And I'm going to tell you, I don't think this is news to you, but we live in a country that the male-female idea is messed up. You know, we're not supposed to tell our kids their gender until they figure it out and just tell us what they really want to be when they grow up. And you know, and things like this that are just sick. Absolutely sick. But the idea is, it's in this coexist bumper sticker with the idea, leave those people alone. You know, just leave them alone. Can't you just coexist with them? And of course, the I has the pagan or Wiccan symbol on top of it for the dot, which is a symbol of witchcraft and things of that nature, which there's a bunch of that out there. And then the S is the yin-yang symbol, which if you research that a little bit, it deals with out there in the world there are positive and negative forces and they complement each other, they work against each other, but it's what makes everything work. And it's a theory, it's an idea that people believe, and it's basically their religion, and we need to just leave them alone, and can't we just coexist with them? And that, you know, like I said here, everybody's fine, you know, there's fine the way they are, and nobody needs to change. Just coexist. And I had an uncle one time that said, we're all going to the same place, we're just taking different roads. And that idea would be here. Hey, everybody's fine. Leave them alone. We're all going to the same place. It's all going to be good in the end. Although, if you would have heard my lesson this morning about this judgment, part of that lesson was there's going to be some prizes on the day of judgment. And one of them is there's going to be a lot of very religious people surprised, and there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be surprised with the reality of there is a judgment. And there's going to be people surprised with what goes on and what doesn't go on at the judgment. And so, again, there's going to be some people surprised because of what they believe. And what they're trying to press upon us, or the world's trying to press upon us, is just, you do your thing, let them do their thing, we're all okay. And of course, what does God think about this idea? Now we're going to get into some scriptures. In putting this lesson together, if you haven't done it, try it sometime. You end up jotting down like some ideas, some highlights you want to cover. And that's what I did when it comes to supporting my thoughts on this, or the Bible's thoughts on this. And what I decided to do was, first and foremost, Jesus saves. That's why I had the brother read the scripture there in Acts 4:8 through 12 that I'll read here again. And just so you know, everything I've done here is out of the New King James. I work with a church in Mansfield, and there are a lot of King James people there, and the same in Lisbon. A lot of people use the King James, and one of my favorites is the New American Standard, but I can't quite push the envelope that far yet, so that's why this will be the New King James. But Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man,
by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which men must, M-U-S-T, must be saved. So I thought that would be a very appropriate start with that. When it comes to that bumper sticker, we're all going to get along fine. No. No. Jesus is where they need to be. Jesus is where we need to be. Because that's the only name which saves. Romans 10 and 13. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord should be saved. Shall be saved. Should be saved. Shall be saved, I guess it says. We understand it's Jesus. You want to be saved, you've got to call on the name of Jesus. Acts 2 and 21. And then it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. These are just a couple of example verses out of the Scriptures. But the bottom line is, we understand. I am sorry, but the Israel of today is on their way south. They do not believe in Jesus. They have not accepted Jesus, obeyed Jesus, or want any part of Jesus because he doesn't fit the criteria they were looking for. And if they continue down the path, they're going to end up in hell when it's all over. The same with the Muslims. And the same with anybody for that matter. Same with me and you if we're not following and obeying Jesus. So first and foremost, my answer to that bumper sticker is Jesus saves. That T at the end is the only thing that matters. And yes, we are to live peaceably with all. Romans chapter 12, beginning verse 14, says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your minds on things associated Do not set your minds on high things, but on associate them with humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head, and do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. This is just a small portion there of Romans chapter 12. Is all about Christian living, and it's based on what happens in Romans chapter 11, the fact that the tree was cut and we were grafted in as Gentiles, and how beautiful and the wisdom of God in allowing and making that all to happen. Of course, the warning's there, hey, be careful, because he cut them off to make room for you. That don't mean he can't cut you back off. You know, that warning's there, but it starts out in chapter 12 with therefore, because of all these things, here's a whole list of things on how you ought to live. And toward the end of it here, he says, and I'm focusing on the one part of the verse, as much as possible, it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. You know, if you and your neighbor are at odds, it better be the neighbor's fault. Okay? Things like that go on in the world. I have a house in the middle of 50 acres. I can't see my neighbors. We get along just fine. Okay? My son lives in Indianapolis. My daughter lives here. And I step outside like, wow, you're way too close. But don't get me, I'm not belittling anybody. I'm just used to the wide open spaces there. Makes it easier to get along with the neighbor. I got a 1,200-foot driveway that goes up in the woods. And if I want to leave junk lay around, nobody's going to complain except the wife. So anyhow, Romans 12, we are to live peaceably with all. Romans 13, 1 through 10. Let's read this, if you don't mind, turn to that. And what you're going to find is, if it's too much scripture to get on the page, then we're just going to open it up and read it. Romans 13, obviously, comes after Romans 12 that I just read. But Romans 13 also deals with some of our behavior in the world. It says,
Let every soul be subject to the government authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good, but if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's minister, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything except to love one another, for he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, for there is any other commandment, they are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love thy neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing that the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. I went a little too far there, I realize, but get carried away. But the point is here, you know, Paul here tells church at Rome, you need to obey the government. They're God's minister. You know, and you don't want to know the best thing to do to keep out of trouble with the government? Don't do any evil. Do that which is good. And things will be fine. And then, of course, owe no man anything. And then he kind of, I finished up there with, what's the bottom line of everything when it comes to Christianity? Love. Love is that great motivator that makes us do everything we do in our lives. We love our wives, we love our families. That's why if you don't like your job, why do you go to work? Because I need money to take care of my family. I love them. Why do you treat your brethren the way you do? Hopefully it's out of love. Why did Christ come to this earth? Love. Why did he die upon the cross? Love. Why did God send his son? Love. And there's sermon after sermon after sermon on love. You know, John tells us, you have this world's need and your brother needs something and you just walk away, I'm paraphrasing, turn your back and walk away. How does the love of God abide in you? It doesn't. So anyhow, we are to live peaceably with all. And many, many other examples. For instance, the Good Samaritan. I'm not going to turn there and read that, but in Luke 10, beginning in 25, you've had the story of the Good Samaritan. And what did this Good Samaritan do? Well, he did what the priest and the Levite didn't do, but he took time out of his life to help this injured person. Not only that, he took money out of his pocket to help this injured person. Not only that, he said, look, I gotta go, but you take care of him, and when I come back, if there's anything else owed, I'll settle up with you. I will take care of it. And the idea here is, you live peacefully with all. Well, one thing you can do is help somebody once in a while. And we as Christians, I heard a very good sermon Friday night on we as priests. And the priest's job was to go between the people and God. We're supposed to be a priestly bunch. And is it not our job to go between God and the people? Shouldn't we be out there trying to interface with the people, trying to bring them into God, just like the priest would go between God and the people? You know, in the Old Testament, when they sacrificed, they came and gave their sacrifice to the priest. Then he went and offered it to God. So those things, like I said, it was kind of interesting, and I think it'd make a good sermon, but that's our job as Christians. And of course, you know, Luke 8:11, right? The seed is the word of God. Our only job is to sow the word. Let it do its job. But we gotta continue to sow the word. Acts 17, beginning in verse 22. Now, this is one of the best examples of when somebody in the scriptures could have said,
hey, you're okay with what you're doing, but I want to, you know, I'll show you what I believe, and you show me what you believe, and it's all okay. Okay, that isn't what Paul said here in Acts 17. Turn there, if you will, like I said, beginning of verse 22. It said, then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you were very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. These guys were so worried that they were going to overlook a God that they had an altar or a statue, if you will, to the unknown God to cover their bases. And Paul is saying, I'm about to explain who this person is that you're worshiping ignorantly, the King James says. It says, get down here. Verse 24, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with man's hands as though he needs anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell in all the face of the earth, and has determined the preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, and as also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think of the divine nature as gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained. He has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. And when they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear you later in this matter. And again, I think I went too far, yeah. But anyhow, the bottom line is, he says, truly of the times of this ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men to repent. And the bottom line is, Paul didn't say, just keep on doing what you're doing. It'll be fine. You're okay. We're all going the same place. We're all on different roads to the same destination. Just hang in there and keep doing what you're doing. He said, you need to repent of this. You need to repent of this. And oh, by the way, here's why this man named Jesus. This is who God's appointed to judge us. This is what's important. Paul didn't try to get along or allow these pagan gods to coexist with Christ, did he? He told them they needed to repent. And that's where we are today with the coexist bumper sticker. And then looking momentarily at Christ's thought, Revelation 2, which is pretty close to where you guys were the last time I was here. The church at Smyrna, I think, was what you were talking about. See, somebody listens. Okay? Somebody listens once in a while anyhow. Revelation 2, beginning of verse 5, Christ here says, remember therefore from where you are fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. We often use this passage to show you don't hate the people, you hate the deeds. Jesus, our Savior, God on this earth in the flesh, said, I hate their deeds. And my understanding is what the Nicolaitans did, we don't even want to talk about. Okay? It was bad. It was nasty. Of course, we're getting there. We're getting there in some of the things we do in this country. But the bottom line is, Christ said, I hate their deeds. He didn't say, I hate those Nicolaitans. Big, big, big difference. And that's where we have to be careful and understand that. This is Jesus' thoughts. The people that I'm referring to in this coexist bumper sticker, you know, the people who have the male-female issues and things like that, the pagan people, the Muslims, the Israelites, or the Jewish people, whatever you want to say, they're humans too. They have souls too. I don't hate them. I don't hate them, but I do hate what they stand for and teach and believe, because they need to come to Christ. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you even unto the end of the age." What did Jesus say? Well, just go leave them all alone. No, Jesus said, you go teach them, and you make them disciples. You make them disciples. And you know, I taught a 13-lesson course on discipleship. I found a workbook by Heath Rogers when I was visiting in Nashville one time. They were starting to go through it. And I bought the thing. I ordered it before I left the church. And when I got home, I'm like, wow, this would make a nice series. And I kind of used his workbook as an outline, and it ended up being 13 lessons. Little side note, the one on brotherly love took 2 lessons. I told the church up there in Mansfield, I said, you know what? That's how important brotherly love is. You can't get through it in 1 lesson. It took me 2 lessons to cover all the material. And of course, I didn't exhaust it by any means. But being a disciple is a very serious matter. It's not just a haphazard, I'm going to do it on Sunday mornings kind of thing. It's our life. So anyhow, Jesus didn't say, go make Muslims, go make Jews or Israelites or whatever you want to call them. He said, go make disciples. Whose disciples? His disciples. People that follow him. People that want to be like him. And so, and that's why I said, that's our Lord. That's what he's telling us. And that's where we have to go out in the world and understand the coexist thing is slowly creeping and getting worse and worse and worse, folks. You know, part of that male-female thing is look at the homosexuality in the world, how it just gets more and more and more. Whenever there's a new TV program on, I always tell my wife, I said, let's see what this series is like. Maybe it'll be interesting. We can watch a few episodes. And then as soon as the homosexuals come out and start their stuff, okay, never mind. This place is politically correct. And that's just me. I mean, I just can't watch that stuff. I get frustrated with the TV commercials that come on that have it in it. I'm like, what? You know, and everybody's trying to be politically correct to make everybody happy. I'm sorry, it's wrong. It's sin. They need to repent of it. So anyhow, Jesus basically said, it's not okay to just coexist. You need to make disciples out of them. Okay, for those of you who understand who Columbo is, you younger people, talk to the old people. Okay, Columbo was a private eye on television that always would come up and say, one more thing. Okay, remember? One more thing. And it was always an important tidbit that he would gather to go solve the case. Here's my important tidbit. We're not talking about a baking contest here, to where whoever gets the blue ribbon, whoever gets the red ribbon, it doesn't matter. If you'll get to know me, you're going to find I got nothing but Forbes in my driveway. I love the Ford product. All right? And in fact, if I showed up in Lisbon at church with a Chevy, they would be taking my temperature. Because of the way we chit-chat about it and joke about it. But the bottom line is, that doesn't amount to a hill of beans when it comes to our salvation. Does not matter. This does. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 says, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified with the saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed." What's Paul telling the church of Thessalonica? The Lord's going to come again and in flaming fire, and he's going to take vengeance on them who have not obeyed him and do not obey him. Heads up. And again, that's my point about this coexisting. It does matter what you believe. It does matter what you practice. It does matter what you worship. Acts 17:31 that I've read a couple times today. "Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained, he has given assurance of all to this to you all by raising him from the dead. You know, that it's Jesus who's going to be the judge. You think Jesus is going to look at a Muslim and say, "Ah, you get a pass. Come on in." No. That's what I just read in Second Thessalonians here. It's obeying him that matters. Hebrews 9 and 27, "And as it is appointed unto one man once to die, and after this the judgment." The whole world is going to be judged. And they're going to be judged by Jesus. You know, go look at what, Revelation 20, 12. By the books, by his word. The whole world's going to be pulled in and judged by this. Not by the Muslim doctrine, not by the Jewish doctrine. So in conclusion, Christians are to coexist, live peacefully, in other words, with all mankind. We're not supposed to be the troublemakers out there in the world. We're not supposed to pull people over and beat them up because they got a coexist bumper sticker on the back of their car. But it might be a good segue in to say, do you actually believe this? Because I'll tell you what I believe. Because when I saw that the first time, I was like, whoa. And I took a photo of it because I wanted to go research it. I actually saw a coexist formed out of the parts of Michigan. It had the Upper Peninsula, the Mackinac Bridge, and the lower part as part of the word coexist. And I asked the guy, I said, what is that about? He said, well, those of us who live in the Upper Peninsula, we call the people that live in the lower half trolls because they live below the bridge. And so it's a little personal thing that they have up there that, you know, and the theme there is coexist. And you know what? You ought to coexist because that doesn't matter on that particular subject. But we are to coexist. And just as the bumper sticker, just not how the bumper sticker implies, accept each other as we are and just leave us alone, everybody's okay. No, we understand that's not the way it works. Jesus saves and only Jesus. And we are commanded to make disciples, to save souls through Jesus. This is not a game or a contest. Like I said, it doesn't matter what vehicle you drive or if you bake the best chocolate chip cookies. Doesn't matter. Those things are just earthly things that are irrelevant. This, talking about Jesus and coexist and all the other beliefs in this world, that matters. It's very important. Every man everywhere must repent. Whoop. Okay. The invitation song is 280, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." And again, I thank you for the opportunity. The idea here of an invitation is, I always like that word, it's an invitation. We're inviting you to, if you're not a Christian, to be baptized into Christ today like the scriptures say. That's what you need to do because you're going to stand in front of that judge someday. If you are a member of the church, things we can do for you as members, again, we're all family. We're here to help. We're here to help and just exhort each other and help each other get to heaven in any way that we can. So if you're subject to the gospel call today, please, while we stand and sing the two